Now, Brad Pearson, we will go ahead and get started. Heavenly Father, we humbly come before you at this time. So thank you for this Lord's Day and the opportunity that we've had to worship you. We pray that everything that's done has been done in accordance with your will and is pleasing to you. We ask that you be with us at this time as we meet here to discuss the matters of the congregation, and that you would give us the wisdom and the knowledge to be able to make the decisions that are most beneficial for this congregation and most beneficial for our work here, and that are most of all pleasing and acceptable to you. We ask all these things in your Son's name. Amen. Okay, so first on the agenda, just a finance update. This is last quarter, so it's a little longer because we just finished up a quarter, so that's why this one's longer than what it has been. And in the quarter, as a whole, if you flip to the back, it's in the tip two pages. So we were $14,500 in the red. And our total balance right now is $114,779. One expense that popped up that's a yearly expense on that first page is the insurance for the workman's comp at $676. And we're about to have to pay the big insurance payment coming up this month for, it's about 10 grand. I'm waiting on I should be getting the quote for the renewal any day now. And we also received the check this week. He's got an extras for the next factory. But we received the check for the insurance, and so that'll be going in there in a little bit too, coming out for the. So there'll be, that'll even out of zero, but there'll be a couple of big numbers on there in this next report I give you, so just an update on that. But that's really all I have for the finances, nothing new. We did finish up our total benevolence. I sent the last $500 to Brother Mukwe in Africa, along with his support each month. But that was the last installment, and finished up all of that benevolence that we talked about a couple months ago. But other than that, that's all I have for the finances. Any questions about that? Okay. Next on our agenda is the insurance roof repair thing from that.
Okay, just to note that it's actually finally come through. The first time that the check was sent to us by the insurance company, they sent it to Jerry Goldman's address, and I have a feeling he just threw it in the trash. So they put a stop on that check, and we got the other check here at the building just last week. It's a check in the amount of $26,831.70. It's not been deposited yet.
It'll be deposited tomorrow with the...
So anyway, so I called the roof doctors, the lady who helped us out with all of this, and they're going to come and they're going to redo the flat roofs. Remove one layer of roll roofing, install the base sheet under the layer, prepare and replace flashing the flat roof. That attaches to the shingles because that's where a lot of the leaks were. Install bitumen torch down the modified. So that's basically a flat roof. I don't know.
Yeah. Fixing the roof.
They ain't gonna fix the roof. Okay, so in addition to this, the total contract is for $31,623.45. There's a depreciation of $4,791.75. When the proof of work done is finished, the insurance company will send that $4,700 check, which will then be sent to the roof company. And basically, we're going to get this roof at no cost to ourselves. The damage that's being done on the inside... And I don't know if there's, whether we need to keep a look on that right there, because I'm not sure if that's old. If I think maybe there's some leak at the other roof, we need to keep an eye on. So people keep that with me so you can know. But there's a lot of damage that's old damage, and they weren't willing to pay anything for that. But we have contracted with an independent arbiter. With that view that if he's able to get money for us for interior repairs, that he gets a percentage of that. If it, it's no cost to us if he doesn't. But the negotiations for the damage to the interior is in the very beginning. He has sent information to them, but they've not responded to him yet. And so that's going to be ongoing in the next month. I don't know how long it's going to take to do that or whether we'll even get anything from it. But he's going to try for us. So, you know, hopefully, as a result of that, perhaps the hallways and the foyer at the very least, and maybe these two side areas, we can get some sheetrock up instead of the old tile. But I don't know if that's going to be the case, and I don't know how much money we'll get, if anything, for that. But that's where we are now, proof.
Are they doing the shingle?
The shingle roof is not damaged, and unless that right there is actual new leak or something, which the reason I asked a question about that is because a few months ago, I don't remember the kind of hole right there. You know, it was, the stain was there, but that part is coming down, so I'm not sure if there's a leak there or not. Which, if that's the case, then we can, you know, the insurance will pay to get that done too. But he did walk and saw there's really, it's an older roof, but there's no damage to it as far as nail or anything like that, so they weren't willing to do anything for the shingles.
Okay, that's it.
Have you contacted a contractor yet?
Contractor, and that's the other thing. The contractor is going to get back with me in the next day or two. Chances are it'll be this week or next week that they'll actually do the work. I've told them about Wednesday nights, Sundays, as well as our Saturday night singing, so they'll make sure they work around that. She said it should take 2 days to get the work done. So I'll let y'all know. I'll send a notice out on the page when it's scheduled. But, yeah, the contractors have been contacted.
And all those figures there were from some of the insurance company. Is that right?
The figures, we have contracted with the roof doctor's company, and they're going to do the roof for the cost of the insurance payment. In other words, we're not going to be out any deductible as a result of that. Yeah, so that's... But they're going to do the work.
All right. Next, I'm actually going to skip to the last one on the agenda because it will take care of a quick thing. The lawnmower. So the only reason I put that on there, because we talked about a month ago about, you know, not worrying about that until the winter for, you know, cheaper prices. But then when Tommy went to go try it a couple weeks ago, he couldn't get it started. It was definitely going to be mowed before that. But Rick, I believe you got it started yesterday and mowed it. So... We just talked about the possibility.
Josh,
of you. Oh, Josh had it? Okay, so are we definitely needing a new mower, you think? Maybe you're the maintenance guy.
It's kind of one of those things, like, from the way that everything I understand is that when everybody was under the impression that we had a brand new lawnmower when they stole our old lawnmower, but from the best I can tell and suss out, Brad bought a used lawnmower, yeah. And while it works, it's getting to an age where it's encountering problems on a consistent basis. I would say that if the men are amenable to considering the purchase of a new riding lawnmower, I think it would be something we should do in the spring. And I can start looking at prices on them and kind of research to see what would be the best for our current, for our situation. Because the one that we have currently is a little undersized. It takes about 2 to 3 hours to mow all of that, like, the right way. I would be willing to look into prices and get some prices and bring those at a subsequent.
Any objections to Josh looking at the prices for that? Okay, he can get back to us. And not actually, like I said, because after this mow, we probably won't mow it again.
We're looking, sometime this winter. It's going to cost a new mower, riding lawnmower, one that's going to do what we need it to do. It's probably going to be in the, I'm going to say, $2,000 range, but certainly we can afford to. That will work.
And then the final thing that I've got on the agenda is I just put tech upgrade options. We've been having difficulty with consistencies with this Nemo and his phone, so there's something to that. Also, one thing that I suggested to him, which is why you got this together, because you got it together a while back and then it didn't end up panning out, but is creating a more permanent, basically, tech station to control everything. Because right now the computer's at the bottom or at the pulpit, and everything's got to be controlled from up here. And sometimes it interrupts things. And also, since we're going to be here, you know, we looked into the possibilities of building a different building, saying, you know, that's not something that's an option right now or will be anytime in the future, in the near future. And so as we're making these repairs and possibly getting the repairs done to the ceilings, if that arbitration works out, this would be something that would be good to go ahead and get done as well. But he's got the details on that. So.
Yeah, just my proposal, which is something I've been wanting to do for a long time. I'll just give you kind of a straightforward. I asked the elders on two different occasions over the years for us to consider this, and both times they weren't interested in doing it. And just to note, personally, I get frustrated when we do so much for landscaping, those kinds of things, but things that would directly impact the worship and be helpful with regard to the preaching of the gospel, that sometimes we kind of do it in a half-hearted way. So what I've done, you know, everything up to this point in time has not been anything that's had an impact upon the congregation as far as the bottom line with regard to money. Because the Mevo camera that was purchased was not purchased by the church, it was purchased by an individual. And all the work that I was doing with regard to the audio and all have been things that I've purchased myself, using my camera, using audio that I've, you know, those kinds of things. It's always been a shoestring basis. Congregations that are utilizing the slides and trying to do something with regard to streaming, typically they have something in the auditorium that is used, a station in the auditorium, a booth in the auditorium, that really is beneficial. We've had the PA amp in our closet since this congregation started back in 1959. And there are some real drawbacks to that. For example, if someone's going to preach or someone's going to teach a lesson or do a prayer that's soft-spoken, then we'd have to go into the back and unlock the amp and turn up the volume in order for them to be heard by some in our number. And then we'd have to come back in to see if it was loud enough and go back if it wasn't, because you can't hear from back there. So I've asked that we maybe knock out the glass up at the top and maybe have that as an area where we have the camera up there and those kinds of things. I've asked that it maybe be done over here in this room. What I would like for us to consider doing, this is my proposal, and we can, of course, discuss it. Y'all can say, no, we're not interested at all. But I would like to create a booth in that back corner there. We've got so much room in the back now that we've taken out some of the pews that we could create a small audiovisual booth and have that door, just that door on the side of the auditorium there, just be the opening into that booth. Have a lock on it or at least a latch at the top. And just have the floor elevated a little bit so we get cables underneath it, and also it would allow the person who's sitting back there to be a little higher. Have a half wall, just have a lot of people do that, where we put the computer, instead of having it under the pulpit, have the computer in the back, run the amplifier in the back, so have the audio sources, be able to record through the system, be able to have someone who's manning the slides all the time and also doing the recording. It's all in one thing. The churches are doing this. The ones that are really doing a good job with regard to the streaming and those other kinds of things, they typically have something like that in mind. I have a couple in mind. The church in Pasadena, the Parkview Church of Pasadena, has something similar to that. And the Indiana Avenue congregation in Lubbock has that. But there are a number of others that do as well, and they do a good job of it. So that's kind of the idea, that we would need, of course, to move the amplifier. It would allow us to, benefits. Real-time adjustment of volumes when needed, better quality audio for recordings, more reliable video capabilities, and we can train and schedule men to man the booth as a duty like we do with others, so we can have more consistency with regard to that. It would require us, most probably, to purchase a better quality computer. I would like as well for the Mevo purpose to stop using my phone, because I think the problem with the things we're having is my phone, not the Mevo or not the internet or anything else. Josh and I have worked on that. So if we could get an iPad or an iPhone, doesn't have to have a data program, but an iPad or an iPhone doesn't have to be brand new. But to utilize that as a standalone, always have it there for that purpose rather than me trying to use my phone for that. need a camera for the nursery. And that would allow us right now, you'll notice it's posted up on the back. Problem is, if the electricity goes out or something, you got to get on a ladder to turn it back on. And also the audio is not very good. Whereas if we were to do something that's wired in to the nursery, and what I would like to do as a part of this is also, their men can't hear very well if they've got lobby duty. It'd be very easy for us, and it would be very beneficial to get a small TV. We would have be able to wire it into the system to where the PowerPoint projection wasn't the TV here, it could also be so the slides would be running for the songs as well as the announcements for services and everything in the foyer. And also the audio could be piped through that, so anything coming through here could be heard. Because the speakers don't work with audio in the foyer anymore. So there are a lot of small things like that we've never done anything about it. There's never really been any impetus to do anything about it. In fact, the slides that we do for the singing, I don't know if everyone likes that, but one of our elders, it was Roger Paulsell, he had seen it done poorly at another place, and he didn't want anything to do with it. That's one of the reasons why we never did it until after he was gone, or even considered that, because he didn't like that idea. So if we're going to embrace some of these things and do a good job with it, I think maybe some upgrades might be beneficial. So then what it would require probably is if we were to build a little booth and maybe in the running of the electricity and running of the wires and all that kind of stuff, and maybe the purchase of some AV equipment. When I was talking with Josh about that, he said he's not willing to do any of that work. No, and it was his suggestion.
Not capable is more than not willing. Yeah. There's a combination of those. Not willing because I'm not capable.
Yeah. But the suggestion, this is another thing. We've always had, in fact, these speakers up here, you know all the noise that they make. It's because they're not shielded correctly. Electricians put those speakers in, not AV people. They were electricians that did it. They did something wrong. Or something's not. In other words, if we had an AV company come in and do the speakers, then we would have called them right back out and said, y'all messed up, this is not good. And we'd have them fixed, and they're never going to get fixed unless we pay to have them fixed. So I'm just thinking that maybe this is something to consider soon to upgrade and to do something about it and make something that would be a little bit more beneficial. It would take a lot of the labor and the care of it off of me as well if we had someone who was...
I was just going to ask, do you have a guesstimate at all about what
they're going to
do?
Can't do it until we decide if we're going to do the work or not, and what equipment that we're going to have to do.
And real quick, that's my suggestion. Decide if we want to have it done, and then you can get quotes. The one thing that we can go ahead and take care of real quick that I think would be good is the iPhone for the Vivo, because that's an immediate thing, correct? That's not something.
It's still not working. Today, I mean, everything worked today, but it worked off my data stream because even though the Ethernet was up here, every time I hooked my camera up to it, it kicked me off the Ethernet.
Right. Yeah, I'm just saying, of all that stuff that he mentioned, the one thing that I think take care of completely today, whether we're going to do or not, is that iPhone. And then we decide, well, if we do want to go with that, then we can get some quotes and get the pricing. And go from there. The next week is just.
I think we need to scope it and have some options to look at to just make sure we've thought about it well. I mean, there are three obvious places we talked about ages ago when we talked about this, which was up at the top there, or up in the back, or right up here. And they all have their pluses and minuses, but there's also a question of just the efficient way of accomplishing these things. Like the nursery in the lobby can be viewing the live stream, right? And then you don't have to have any wires at all.
There is a problem with that a little bit, but you're right. I mean, it could be done that way right now, but the problem is that there is sometimes a 10, 15 second delay.
Right.
In the live stream.
So that's the thing, right? Look at the options. Look at the pros and cons of all the options. Do we even need an iPad or an iPhone? Why would we just control the Vivo from the computer also?
Because I don't think you can. It's not set up. Like, there's not software that goes. It's specifically designed for a mobile device.
Right. So you just set up an Android emulator on your computer,
that's hardwired into the whole thing. You don't have to have anything that's got a separate battery. You're not dealing with somebody who forgot to charge the iPad.
No, I think that would be the best if that's possible. It's just I didn't. You're talking above my head as far as the technology.
A lot of this has to do with knowledge of what technology is even available.
Right.
I think we have the ability. There's so many different abilities that are out there right now that we just don't even know of, and we make things so much easier and more efficient. And like you were saying, Stan, when we're really in the mindset of proclaiming the gospel, that's our purpose. We want to be able to do that as best we can.
And one thing you mentioned that's a part of this too is with the situation here, we've got people at home dependent on this more than ever before. And who knows how long that's going to last. And so we want it to be dependable. And you know, recently it hasn't just because of some of the glitches that have taken place.
And I think we all agree that none of this is to replace the actual assembling for worship.
Right.
But I don't know what's best, the best way of doing it. That's just my idea. But I would like for us, and by the way, this could be very, very expensive. You get a lot, and I don't want anything where we're really, we don't have that extravagant of needs, but just something that is dependable and reasonable in quality that we can depend upon would be something nice. And if it's something that, well, I thought maybe some experts, audiovisual people that we could come in and ask for quotes or design, or why would this work or not work? Because just like you said, never thought of an Android emulator for the computer. That would be great, you know. But I hadn't thought about that. I didn't know you could do that. I mean, I did know, but I hadn't thought you could. But as far as the place and those kinds of things, yeah. I'm just saying this is something I would like for us to consider, because we've been doing it piecemeal for such a long time. And I tell you, I mean, I've got people in India, and there's one lady that she listens to every single sermon, and she listens to every single Bible class and Revelation. She asked me to send her the material, and she just she comments on every single one of them and likes it and all. And we've got people that are watching these things all over the world. Not saying a whole lot of them. I'm not saying we're, you know, the next Herald of Truth program. But we do have people who are utilizing these things, and if we could do just a little bit better job and be a little more consistent, it would be great.
As
far as I can tell, it hadn't been addressed about in Bible class if it's feasible to have a roaming microphone.
That's a long time ago.
Is that some way or another?
Well, yes, we can have that. We can have that.
That's a possibility that we could have.
What was that?
That's something that could be a possibility that we could do with this as well.
There is a foam ball that has a microphone in it, and I can pitch it to whoever wants to talk, and they can catch it and do it, and they go to somebody else. They have all sorts of things like that. But yes, we could do it. It's a little bit problematic in some ways because you'd have to be walking to someone and giving them the mic and those kinds of things. And you know, when we're, you know, Justin was talking at the very back today, so you know, getting a microphone back there, it's a little bit problematic. But yes, you can. It's easy to hook up another wireless mic to the. We could do that right now by just taking the lapel mic and giving it to you.
We could mic the auditorium so that the singing merges into the speakers better. We could mic the auditorium so the people that ask questions in class can be heard better. So I'm fine, and we'll motion for us to go get a quote, but it's hard to get a quote if we're not narrowing
the
scope.
Would anybody be willing to run point on this to gather the ideas from everybody, and we'll have a few weeks to where if you've got an idea about this or a thought about that, like Justin's mentioned, go to that person and organize it, and then we can go from there to get a quote. Is that?
Or we can make a really narrow scope right now and have somebody go make a quote.
Right.
Like if the quote is just make a booth that has a computer that can run the Mevo, and then afterward we can add on other things. Either way.
Right. Alright. Does anybody object to that? Narrowing it down to the booth, the computer to run the Mevo, And
it's got the amplifier.
The amplifier.
And the amplifier. You want to add the nursery stuff to that as well? In the nursery, those four things? Yes, Josh.
All right. Sam has a list of all the things that we want to do. So I would say we go off his list for trying not to quote stuff. But I'll cast my vote. I know that we talked about doing a booth, but I think for the sake of like ease of like being able to wire it all, that all the wires in the building run in the attic, is to knock out that glass and put the whole thing up there, because then it's just like you're in the worship anyway. I mean, you're above everybody, but you can put a nice, like, big, long desk up against that window. I mean, if you built it, that could be a desk that's movable. But like a station, it has like a computer sitting on it, like I would say a laptop probably. There's laptops or...
Yeah, laptops are
easier to control than a laptop, but...
It's solid state.
It's solid state drives, and then go ahead and, like... But you could have the amplifier or mixing board or whatever it ends up being. I don't know all of that stuff. I don't really get into audio. But, it could all be right there. It's just like you would in a booth, but I think it would be less... We would have to build anything as far as, like, a booth goes up there. All we have to do is, like, I come through with a hammer, hit the glass, and done.
You would also have to put up some railing, something, because that would make the, because that only goes up to about this high.
Well, I can take the glass out and then I can go back up halfway and put like plexiglass or whatever, or I can just build it in and like make the windows higher than what they are right now, so that the windows were not at knee level, or whatever they are right now. That's easy. Just frame that in and cast your new glass.
I personally like the idea of putting it up in glass. And I know this is a small thing, but having a room attached to the auditorium feels strange in that we have the tech stuff where we're worshiping. I would prefer if we had it somewhere where it was out of sight, where it's not going to bother anybody that might have. Like, we have visitors coming in there,
there's
distraction with it, or they're distracted by it, like I would be.
And it affects the egress kind of as well. Right. You start closing off a door. But it's tough.
I do like the idea of having it upstairs, but I want to make sure that our scope is not so small that we overlook things. Like I know at work we use a Crestron pad. It's a little pad about that big. They're like $200-$300. And it controls all the audio, all the visual, all the everything. And if there's some kind of panel like that, it's small and inexpensive, you can control it.
I think that's how the thing would be come up when we talk to the audio visual people, because they'll be able to tell us what tools and then kind of go from there, because you're out there. I mean, there's all kinds of systems out there.
And I'm sure they're going to have a million suggestions also.
Yeah. Okay, so again, so our scope, the up there, the booth, the getting the, what it takes, what it's going to cost to get the audio visual thing, the computer to control the Nevo, the nursery stuff, and the sound are the main things. And we'll get a quote from that and be able to have a little bit more of a detailed and specific plan next time. And if it's something that gets going, we can always meet real quickly for just that instead of waiting until next month. So are there any other...
Yes, I just one other question. Stan, I know you probably know some of the people in those congregations that, I don't know if there's any, I'm saying something as simple as an email or just a suggestion, but we might be able to contact one of those other congregations that has one of those systems. And maybe there's a person in the Brotherhood that does audio video. I'm not saying they're local necessarily, but maybe they can.
Well, in Indian Avenue, for sure, because I was talking to Carver Dell last time he was down about that. I think Dan talks a little bit too. They had a company come in, and that's one thing with the technology when you're piecing stuff together a lot of times. Even though it's supposed to work, there are little glitches. Right. Like the iPhone's supposed to work best with the Mevo, and Dad's, OnePlus he's got doesn't, and there's something in the coding that's just not, it's just glitchy. And that happens. And if you have, that's one of the reasons to have a company come in and they're all going to do the same stuff, same wires, same whatever, because you're going to cut down on the amount of, you know, it's going to be dependable what you can make.
Okay. It's like, because I've been kind of doing it along with Stan forever now. Yeah. It's frustrating at times because the what I have to work with versus what is, you know, is out there versus what we can do. Sometimes it becomes, there's a divide there, and it's like, why isn't this working? Oh, that was working last week. Or
so we will get that quote, and then we'll discuss the, you know. I'm sure we'll be able to have a few options and look at the pricing and what we want to do as far as the price and how much we want to spend on that next time. Any objections to doing that? Okay. All right. Does anybody have anything new to bring up?
As far as Bible classes go, I wanted to mention this. Patsy mentioned this to me because in class with her, she has Lily to David as far as a spectrum of kids, and with the addition of
Brittany's daughter.
Presley and Paisley are the two colonels.
Yeah, I can't remember which is
which. Presley is the older and Paisley is the younger. Paisley and Lily are about the same age, about the same, you know, cognitive skill level.
Right.
Whereas Marley and David are a little bit higher in skill level. And so I'm sorry,
Riley.
Paisley. Presley. Anyway, put the two girls together is my suggestion, because when you have that big of a range of cognitive skill, you know.
And Lily and Presley are a little bit above that grand.
Right.
Emily.
Right. And we've got the people here to be able to create the class. I think you're going to accommodate that quite easily. And there would be more than just a single child in that class with them.
That's certainly something we look into. And again, like I said, the thing is teachers. Yep. And again, this unique situation, that's going to be the one thing there is finding teachers for it. And so it's something that we can certainly, I think we should definitely look into. And it might be something we decide to.
We may have to get one of the men to teach the older girls, or the older one, David. Who's it, Riley with you?
David.
Yeah, Riley. Yeah, and let them go.
And I'd be willing to do it. I'd be much more comfortable.
Because we're struggling getting the women to do it.
If we divide them out, like, anytime soon, I'll volunteer to teach Riley and David's class, if that helps.
And we can get that together and make a plan going forward the next quarter. That'll be starting in December. So that gives us a little bit of time to get that organized and figured out who's going to teach it.
Is that acceptable with you to wait until December?
Okay.
We'll have it in place then by then, for sure.
Did you have something new, Dick?
Yeah, I want to talk about the COVID-19. That at my age and other older ones, that's younger but old, they're more susceptible, that we know a lot more about than we did last February and March about the virus, COVID. But we know from the first that wearing the mask and the distance, and we're getting lax on that. Some people don't wear masks, or they take them off, you know, and the lax they have to say, shaking hands and getting out the distance on that. And that's always been that way. We people did that Thursday, but we wouldn't have a problem today, but we don't know enough. But I keep up on the latest on that, or try to anyway. And one of the things now is the aerosol. Well, they say you have the mask, it's right 6 feet, you have droplets that come down, but now they have the aerosol that spreads out, you know, and it's in the air along like that. And to overcome that, the good news is that they have outside ventilation coming. We did that a while, but the hot weather coming in, we got too hot to be a little bit. But we don't have any, as far as I can go, we don't have any outside ventilation coming in or going out. And just supervise the whole dish. Especially when they come in this thing. We have lots of homes hanging. We have people come from all over, you know, in the sanctuary of the meeting. Just like you want to hear Jeremiah talk. And we're getting very lax on this thing. This serious business, you know, if you're not oppressive, he comes down with whatever it is for, at any rate. But something we need to take more seriously than we are around here, isn't it? But we have time to time. I don't want to get it. I'll do it like that. I'm already fatigued without the fight. Anyway, that's what I want to say about that.
And my next point was, can we stop wearing masks as song leaders? Because I'm about to, I know we already have one song leader that will not sing anymore because he has to wear a mask. And I am not being crazy, but like, I was about to pass out this morning wearing a mask, trying to lead singing.
I've had to change my breathing pattern.
Yeah, it's crazy. I don't know. Anyway, but here's the thing. My wife, who works at the hospital, when they go to meetings, okay, this is at the hospital, mind you, where they're in contact with patients. They only have to wear masks if they're going to be within 6 feet of each other, like at a meeting where they sit next to each other. Other than that, when they're in their offices working, or if they're 6 feet away from each other, they don't have to wear a mask. I mean, they wear in the hospital, obviously, because everybody has to wear masks inside buildings right now. With the exception of churches, I might add. The actual state order says that if you're attending services, you don't have to wear a mask indoors, but it's recommended that you do. We made a decision as a congregation that we would, and that's fine. I'm okay with that. However, being 20 feet away from the nearest person up there, I don't see the need to wear a mask when you're leading singing, because it is droplet dick. It's not aerosol, by the way. So that's one thing I will correct you on. It's been proven not to be aerosol, but droplet. So it's not floating around. It does drop and die. So
I think the CDC changed
their own.
Which I don't know. Yeah, I mean, that's one of the things that makes it so difficult is because you hear so much. Yes, thank you.
Okay. I see a very simple solution to this problem. We find ourselves a piece of plexiglass, getting big, put it right there, and solve the problem, right? Because then they can wear it, but they don't have to wear the masks up there. It's their plexiglass, you can still see. So if anybody has a problem with that, I can't imagine that it's super expensive.
I thought about that.
I thought about that too, but I didn't know if it would be too distracting. I mean, the point is you're, I'll say 20, maybe 15 feet away from the front row up there, and like the trajectory of even with the extra height of from 6 feet might increase it to 10, but like the point is, even if it was true, and even if it was going that far, our air conditioning system sucks everything back down underneath there. So anything that's projecting is projecting no further than those steps, I promise you. So that's just my thing. We're about to have a singing on Sunday night, or Saturday night, by the way. There's no way we're going to be able to social distance as many people as show up for our singing. So that's just my...
Well, I'm curious. Yeah, well, I'm wondering. Part of me thinks that there's going to be a very few people because nobody wants to, or there's going to be a lot of people that have been ready to do the singing for a while that are all going to show up.
I think we can still, using the two overflows, I'm pretty sure that we'll be able to social distance.
It might be more difficult than our regular service, but I think we can.
I don't think people are scared like they were. I mean,
I'm not saying there's no fear
out there, but I just really think that I predict we have 100 people or more here Saturday night. That's just my thought.
But
I might wrong.
Just need to
wait for a while.
Got to let people know that if you go with one of those tubes, I don't know what they're called, but like the purple one that I wear that's only single ply, it's not the multiple ply. It allows air in more easily because it's polyester and because it's a single layer. It's not meeting that full CDC recommendation of the multiple layers or the N95. But if I wear this mask or if I wear one of my disposable medical masks, I'll end up waterboarding myself up there because I just put out so much humidity when I speak that it's saturated and I can't get air through. And so that's why I wear the purple one when I lead singing, because I still have a barrier, but it's easier to get air in my lungs.
Okay. The thing that I want to come back to is how far do we go for the fear of a problem? We have many passages in Scripture that talk about how, like, for instance, the lazy won't go out to work because there's a lion in the streets. I understand that there is a legitimate threat. I'm not trying to discredit that whatsoever. But at what point do we let that control ourselves?
It doesn't really matter if it's legitimate. When you look at Romans 14 or 1 Corinthians 8, the people thinking it's wrong to eat meat were completely illegitimate.
But
it was still wrong to them.
I agree. That's why I'm only mentioning it.
Yeah. That was the whole argument in the original.
Yeah, I know.
I have no fear of the virus, but I wear the mask for my brothers.
Right. And more people are comfortable coming. And so some people have taken it off when they're leaving singing. I had one time where I forgot the purple one. I took it off one ear, so it wasn't as tight as it should have been for CBC, but I could actually breathe and lead singing. I think everyone is trying to be as accommodative as they can. I mean, we haven't really talked about the singing very much, right? There are going to be people from other congregations that want to leave. Are we going to tell them that they have to keep their masks on? Have we planned out our communication when people walk in and where they're going to sit and such? I think at this point, it would not be a bad idea to remind in the announcements. It's going to feel a little repetitive, but get it down to like 8 seconds, right? Don't spend half a minute talking about it. Just 8 seconds each time we have announcements. This will be just a reminder, if all things being equal, if you can just keep your mask on the whole time, that would be greatly appreciated. The song leaders and people getting prayer to keep it on, that would be greatly appreciated. But there's a big difference between greatly appreciated and, hey, if you're not going to wear a mask, you're not going to be one of the song leaders in our singing.
I want to go back to my comment, though, because I want to move that we take a vote on whether or not song leaders can stop wearing masks. Song leader and preacher, I don't care. Everybody else wants to wear a mask. You can do that. I don't have a problem doing it. But the preacher and the song leader should be able to be up there and do services mask-free, because I'm not going to say a name, but I had another person tell me a month ago, the last time I led singing, like, it was nice, because I didn't know about the mask thing last time. I didn't wear a mask. They're like, it was nice, because they actually, follow along, because there's people that apparently follow along by reading our lips as we're up there leading singing, which I didn't know. But they're having a hindrance to their service because they can't see our lips moving.
The thing about this that you need to remember, though, and again, you know that I hold the same view with regard to some of this as far as I'm willing to do whatever. But we did have the vote. We did make the agreement. And there hasn't been an abatement of the circumstances surrounding the virus, nor has there been a change in the thinking of the brethren who have the problem with the 3-hour block for everyone being for the song leader being unmasked.
I feel like we never talked about it. And
yes, we did. You weren't at that meeting.
Can I finish? We talked about it at one meeting.
Right.
I wasn't there. It wasn't on an agenda anywhere. So
maybe not.
I didn't have any choice about not being there because I was vehemently opposed to that, and I am vehemently opposed to that. And not because I don't respect my brother or whatever, and I do want to do whatever we need to do. But at some point, it becomes like.
Well, to what Rick said,
it becomes silly.
To what Rick said, as far as the fear, you're right. I mean, I don't think anybody's, even the ones that are more worried, would propose that we need to be wearing these masks forever. At some point, we got to get back to normal. But. I don't know how to answer that, but
there are congregations that are wearing masks. I mean, I don't really
There will always be a physical threat. Period. There will always be. There will always be the flu. There will always be some virus. There will always be some danger that's going to affect us. At what point do we allow it to have this much control over our worship to God? That's the only thing I want to remind people is because, look, I'll bend over backwards, and I am, because I can care less about
dying from COVID tomorrow, because honestly, if I die tomorrow from COVID and I'm ready to meet my Lord, I am at my destination quicker than I could ever possibly hope for.
That's great, but that's also a little bit selfish.
No, well, here's the thing.
You've got a family that depends on you.
I absolutely understand that, but you know what? We all have to face mortality, and if I die in a car wreck on the way home, I'm just as dangerous. I'm just as not able, just as... I will not be able to provide for them if I die in a car wreck tomorrow or if I die from COVID tomorrow. It makes no difference.
This is something we need to hash out besides a one-hour business meeting. We need to come out here on a Saturday morning or something where we can talk about this.
Absolutely.
Because we really don't have a consensus. What Stan was saying is we made a decision for the sake of those who could not stay for 3 hours, who were willing to stay for 3 hours if we would wear the mask when we were leading singing, for example. Okay, I just want to make a point about the difference between fear and precaution. Okay? Understand fear. Josh made a big point about that in one of our business meetings. I understand about not being afraid of God. There's a difference between that and exercising precautions. You wear a weapon to worship services. One. Precaution. Since 1999, there's only been approximately 22 church shootings. Since March, there's been at least 40, probably considerably more, outbreaks in churches because of COVID-19. My hometown, Athens, Alabama, Limestone County, the end of July, they started, the local authorities started saying, go back into the churches and stuff like that. So they did. They weren't careful. Oakland Church of Christ, a very sound congregation over there, a lot of people got sick. There was a Methodist church that had, I don't know, hundreds of people got sick. There's four or five different Baptist church. That's my fear, besides just the individuals, is that we may have an outbreak here, and we don't want to have an outbreak in this congregation. We have 100 people here next Saturday night, and no one can, half of them aren't wearing masks. I'm not saying there will be, I'm praying that there won't be, but the risk is higher. And you have to, that's what you look at, is a risk spectrum.
And every person that chooses to attend is willing to take that risk.
Right, but again, our decision was that the ones who would otherwise attend cannot take that risk if we act the way we do. And that's again, I appreciate the brethren being patient with regard to this, and I understand how frustrating it can be. I get it. But I just want, it's what I said from the very beginning, I just want all of my brethren to be able to come. And if I can do something so that some can come who wouldn't otherwise be willing to, then I'm going to do it.
So I'm going to say one other thing and I'll sit down. It's going to get worse. We made a decision back in the spring to postpone that meeting until next year. At that meeting, we said we will reevaluate the situation as we come into the fall meeting. We never did that in a business meeting. And it's advertised now. I've got no problem with that. It needs to go forward now that we've advertised it and we decided to do it. We never reevaluated. But we need to reserve a late decision if necessary. We've got 4 weeks to go. UT Western has already forecast that things are going up right now. And we don't know what can happen in 4 weeks. And I don't know, we don't have a threshold, what it would take. But there's some of us that won't be here at the meeting. Because of that, which is, protocol, the thing that we had come up with. And I'm not worried about us, because we won't be here. I'm worried about the congregation and an outbreak and not letting that something like that happen. Because, it's great. If you're young and healthy, you got a pretty good chance. But I would hate for anybody else here to die to be able.
So, couple things. One, we don't do a fantastic job of running this meeting. One shall realize that. You might ought to work on that. Two, a couple of people mentioned feeling vehemently one way or another. I do not feel vehemently one way or another. I do look at things, and I consider them a little silly. Psalm leading obviously requires larger and quicker intakes of breath than preaching does. We should have the psalm leader, logically, be the person who doesn't wear a mask before the preacher is. But Stan said he had a big deal about preaching wearing the mask. And I was like, well, I don't think that makes any sense. But I don't feel vehemently about it, so I don't care if Stan wants to be up there without the mask on. But what we had was somebody asked for a motion. I'm going to now second that motion. And what the motion was we had an agreement that we're going to ask everyone in the audience to keep the masks on the entire time. If they are at all comfortable with that, that is what we are asking everyone in the audience to do. We're asking everyone when they are moving around out of their seat mandatorily to have the mask on. And we're asking that the people that are doing prayers and song leading and reading scripture, that they have their masks on, and we did not ask the preacher to have his mask on. The modification is we are wanting the song leaders to move from mandatorily wearing the mask to being asked to wear the mask but not being mandatory. That is what I'm seconding. So we should have a vote.
So, I guess just show of hands if you... So, if you are okay, or if you want to have the song leader be their choice to wear a mask or not, if you're okay with the song leader choosing for themselves whether they're going to wear a mask or not. Am I getting that right? Show of hands if you are okay with that. I mean, it's about half. I mean, we're not going to do that. If I was understanding we're not going to do stuff by just simple majority, you know, diminishments and consensus, there's obviously no consensus. And so, to me, that makes it the vote a moot point. Does that make sense?
It does. You should ask for the counter vote, because I'm not going to vote either way. So
I wasn't either. Could I make this suggestion?
Well, see, and I was thinking the same thing, but I'm thinking, well, if we're going to vote, then I can choose one. I know that I cannot vote.
I don't want to vote on that. But let me ask this question then, since there are some vehement views, and could the men who hold those disparate views, well, we can all sit there, but y'all are going to be the ones that need to talk it out. I've got my decision about this as far as that, but I would be willing to come and not wear a mask. I would wear it during the service, but I wouldn't wear it. I wouldn't require anybody to wear any mask, and I would be here and I would be preaching. Doesn't make any difference to me one way or the other, but there is no consensus. There are individuals who are so strongly opposed to both views, and again, we've got conflict in a business meeting when we ought not to have conflict. We've got anger, we've got upset people, we've got loggerheads, and they need to talk to each other about it. If I need to be present, I'll be present, but at least get them together and y'all hash it out. I don't know what else to do about this, but I'm getting frustrated about it.
I'm the same way. I'm the moderator up here. I'm trying, but I don't know exactly, because you get two sides like that. They're both entrenched in their views on this.
I think there's been any misbehavior today.
No, not misbehavior.
No misbehavior, just frustration.
But as far as the frustration and coming to a consensus on this, I don't see it happening, and I don't know exactly what the best way to do it is, but I do agree that the ones that have that on both sides are the ones that we're going to have those conversations.
One question I do have. Since we've changed to the wearing the mask all the time, having the Lord's Supper the first hour so that those who can come, have they come?
Yes.
We send them.
Yes.
They left after the 90s.
Rachel, Tally leaves. And again, keep in mind that the purpose of making this decision, we said we want to get back to the 3 hours. Okay. The accommodation made, okay, if we go to the 3 hours, for some to be able to stay for the full 3 hours, we need to stay masked for the entire 3 hours. I don't like doing that. I'm tired of it. I want to throw this in the trash. But we made that accommodation so that individuals who otherwise are too afraid to come and they have legitimate health issues that make it dangerous for them. My mom and Aunt Tommy, they've decided to come regardless, but they are concerned. And I'm concerned for them. Okay, so we made that decision. We discussed it. We decided it. And that's 2 months ago that was decided. And again, I don't like it. I like it as little as any of you do. But that's the decision that we made as a congregation.
I think that a lot of people that have that fear are also possibly waiting for the vaccine that's supposed to come out pretty quick and then reassess after that, because that might change a lot on the end of the procession.
My question is, because I agree, if one person is totally against it, we should wear it. I mean, that's, you know, we should wear it with one or two people who are totally against it. But what I'm asking is, are those people who are against not wearing masks, would they be okay with Zachary's suggestion of putting a plexiglass thing in front of the microphone up there and asking the song leader or the speaker to stay behind the plexiglass? Because that would solve both problems, I think. But we would have to find out if the people who are opposed to people not wearing masks would be okay with that solution.
I don't know. I mean, it doesn't deal with the aerosol, but it does the droplets. That's the deal.
Right. I mean, and it would just solve the droplet problem. It would allow the song to not wear a mask. It might solve both problems. It's a pretty simple solution. I don't know. Maybe we should poll or just ask among people and find out if that would be a solution that everybody would be happy with. Maybe we should.
I second that. Is there anybody opposed? First of all, is everybody opposed to putting the plexiglass up? Nobody opposed to that? So the question...
Are you opposed to putting the plexiglass up on
the... Putting plexiglass up here? And then... See, that's... I don't know how to...
Not in this meeting right now, because not everybody's here.
We can table it until next week.
Yeah, we can maybe put out a poll or maybe just talk amongst people and find out who the people for the people who want people who are mad at all the time.
And that's a good suggestion. So those that have brought those concerns, that have talked to the ones that have that fear, and are uncomfortable with the 3 hours when the song leader is not wearing a mask, and those that we've done. We've done those things, so they'll be comfortable. We'll come and talk to them and ask them about their feelings on the plexiglass being up. They would still feel comfortable coming if the song leaders weren't wearing the mask in addition to the speakers.
If it doesn't appease them, then there's no reason to do it. But if it does appease them and everybody would be happy, maybe that's something we can look into. And maybe we can look into it prior to the singing, so that if we do have guests sing, song leaders come in, if they don't wear masks, it'd be okay because we have the plexiglass. So it might be something we could look into.
Just
I think we have enough people here talented enough that we can get it done and get something.
Just make sure when you install it, you think about the glare back to the camera.
Yes.
And a perfect solution would be if we could put it up just for song leading and then take it down for preaching. That would be a perfect solution. I don't know if that would be possible.
Well, it would be. I mean, you just need a trifle bracketed plexiglass that fits on the podium.
I think it would be a shame. I honestly think that's the best of both worlds that we're going to get into that. Considering that.
Well, I'll be getting it done by Saturday. That's going to be tough. But talking to, we'll talk to those people and see if that would be something with
people. Try to do the talking and get it done by Saturday. You're pretty well going to have to put one of those polls up.
Yeah.
I don't think that's I forgot it was coming up that quickly. Yeah, I don't think it's going to get done that quickly. Maybe that is definitely something they could look at for future.
We'll discuss that next meeting. We might have a meeting between the next meeting to discuss that once we talk to those individuals.
I just heard the phone go off. I think I'm muted.
Anybody have anything else, guys?
What we shot on the fixed glass?
We're going to get more information and see if those that are uncomfortable with coming for the 3 hours with people not wearing masks up here, if they would be comfortable if we've got the plexiglass up there.
Get more information. That's the greatest idea yet. It's the perfect place you go. You got the plexiglass.
It's in sliced bread.
And that's the ideal thing up there. You know, I don't really wonder why you need to check it out, because we already know. Did we put it on a boat, did we?
Because humans.
I love you,
have to go.
I do too. Well, I appreciate that.